45. Let us sing first from Psalter number 73, stanzas 2, 3, and 5. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face, and I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, and thy face, Lord, will I seek. 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 73.
Congregation, before we opt to read Psalm 45, let us first read the Holy Law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 45. To the chief musician up on Shoshanim for the sons of Korah, Mashil, a song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty write prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Thus far.
(Clears throat) We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Jane Slingerland, who is in the hospital, Mrs. Clara Clausen, who had surgery in this past week and is at home, Mr. Garrett Van Heerden, who is at home in pain. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient, all-glorious and majestic God, who sittest upon thy throne in the heavens, and who governs all things according to thy holy will, directing all things to a certain determinate end, and we are part also of those who are directed by thy providence. Thou givest a measure of health and strength in this morning hour, that we may be brought together under thy word of truth. Remember those in this world that are without thy word and without the truth according to thy word, and that are under ways of deception. Wilt thou grant that thy truth may be brought into the ends of the world, that thy kingdom may come, that many may be born in Zion. For we have read together that thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. And thou knowest also what we are with our children by nature, and no different than any other that are born in this world, except for thy separating hand, in the way of thy sovereign good pleasure, to bring us under thy word of truth, or to give us that we may hear Sabbath after Sabbath day. But then, O Lord, we need also ears to hear and hearts to understand. And when we are come together in this morning hour in a special way of preparation for thy holy supper, and that is to be administered next Sabbath when thou wilt give it, then thou knowest the heart also of each and every one of us. Then we cannot miss that portion that thou givest unto thy people, and that which they stand in need of, to come unto thy holy supper. That is that same portion that we stand in need of, in order that we may pass out of this life. Shall it be well for a never-ending eternity? Oh, do give unto us then, in this week, and when we are to set aside our time from all that is vain and carnal in this world, to put it away for a little moment, that we may examine ourselves in the light of thy holy word, that thou may give also the light of thy Holy Spirit in the heart of each and every one. And when it must be our own conclusion, that we are standing on the outside of the kingdom of God, oh, that that holy jealousy may be born then in this time, and a hunger and a thirst after the true and the living God. Oh, that we may have a desire to see the good of thy chosen, to glory with thine inheritance. Oh, that thou may remember then in a special way thy own people in this day and in this week. For thou knowest also what lives within them as they are traveling through the wilderness of this life. Then it is not that they have served thee with all their hearts, Oh, then it is not that they have kept themselves from their iniquity, but then they have to smite upon their breast, and then they have to confess that they have left the days without number. And then it is that they are making themselves so unworthy time after time, and that they should be made partakers of that broken body and that poured out blood. Oh, then it must be time and again that their eyes are opened unto that blessed gift, and all that thou hast given as the only begotten Son of God, when thou hast given thyself even unto death, the death of the cross. Oh, that they may have their eyes open time and time again for that which is necessary after everything from man has been taken away, that only hope that is in thee, and that it may come into the foreground once again in this morning and in this week. Oh, do look upon those also who are thine, but who are have never been able from their own side to approach unto thy table. Lord, could it please thee then to open their eyes, that they may behold also thy own work within their soul, and that they may be given an invitation from thee. May it be for the first time in their life that they may be given to see something of who and what thou art for a miserable and a wretched creature, that they may have their eyes opened for that which thou hast done also within their own life, that thou may draw them, Lord, and that thou may bring them to that place where self that becomes less and less and nothing, and where thou becomes more and more and everything. Oh, that everything from their own side may go overboard, and that they may receive it out of a free and a full salvation merited by thine only begotten Son, or decreed by God the Father and applied by the Holy Spirit. Wilt thou lead thy children further and further into the mysteries of that faith that thou hast planted in its beginnings, that thou wilt make to grow in the depths, and that thou wilt finish even thyself to the last breath, when they must die as a sinner before God, and then to receive everything without money and without price, and to rejoice forever and forever in the work of a triune God. O Lord, we beseech thee then for thy help, for thy blessing in the midst of us as a congregation in this day and in this week. Wilt thou remember the afflicted and the sick, her that is in the hospital? Thou knowest all her needs and cares. Grant unto her further recovery. Make thou all things well, and wilt thou bring her home again, if it could please thee, soon to her husband and to her children. And wilt thou remember also her that had surgery in the week had gone by, Lord, that thou may also remember and strengthen her in her body, and give unto all of them together to seek and to find a great physician for the need of their souls. Remember our brother, elder also, that must be in his home in this day. Thou knowest all his affliction. Could it please thee also to supply for him in what is necessary? And wilt thou grant him also a good day in the place where he dwells in this morning hour? Remember all the afflicted ones, those that have become old and are lonely, and all the lonely that are in this world. Wilt thou supply for them? And wilt thou be thyself a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Be with those that have lost loved ones, those that have difficulties of mind and body, all those that are handicapped, those that suffer much pain in this world, all those that are in distress in ways that are hidden from others. O, wilt thou be a God nearby unto the needy and unto the poor, and wilt thou give that also they may experience that thou livest, and that the soul may be drawn to seek thee for the spiritual needs. And wilt thou remember all thy truly sent servants? Remember him that serves in our sister congregation in this area in this day. And wilt thou supply for him and all thy servants, him also that remains yet away from his congregation? Bring him back again, that he may do the labors of his hands amongst his flock and in our community. Wilt thou also increase our strength, if it could please thee, that we may do all our labors once again in the midst of our flock. Send forth more servants into thy vineyard. May it be according to thy good pleasure, for the fields are white and ready to harvest. Lord, look upon us in this morning hour. Help us in the preaching of thy holy word. Give us opening and liberty therein. And may thou give thy indispensable blessing in the forgiveness of all of our many sins. We ask it in the name, in the precious name of thine only begotten Son, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace. And what follows, we announce that the new church directories will be available after the service today, one per family or one per confessing member. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Psalter 163, all stanzas. beloved congregation. Next week, the Lord willing, and then the sacrament of the Holy Supper of the Lord will again be administered in our midst. That is a sacrament that has been instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself while He was here upon this world. And what is the purpose, and wherefore He has instituted that sacrament? That is for the strengthening of the faith of His church in the remembrance of Himself. Thus, that is not for the granting of faith, but it is for the strengthening of faith. O congregation, could it be that each and every one of us was permitted from the side of the Lord to attend unto His Holy Supper? But then it must be naturally in a right way. This week, then, is a week of preparation that is necessary. And why? In the first place, because it is commanded by the Lord, that He Himself has said, so let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of this cup. And then what is it that we must examine ourselves concerning? And that is two things. In the first place, whether we have a divine right for the partaking at that supper. Whether we have a church right, which we also need, is not so very difficult for us to examine. And then it is necessary that we are a confessing member of the church in order that everything may be done decently and in order. But congregation, a divine right, no, that is not so easy. And why not? Really, because our hearts, they are so deceitful. Deceitful above all things, we read in God's Word, and desperately wicked. Who can know then his own heart? But also the walk of God's children. And then they need also to turn within themselves and to examine the way wherein they are walking in the midst of this world, also in relation to their own neighbor. With the help of the Lord, we wish then to make a beginning for us in this morning with this work of preparation from the words of our text, which you can find in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Psalm 45, the first part of verse 2. Psalm 45, and verse 2a, Thou art fairer than the children of men. So far, the words of our text. Faith's estimation of Christ, first, what it is, and second, how it is worked. Faith's estimation of Christ, Thou art fairer than the children of men. First, what this estimation is, and second, how this estimation is worked. My heart is indicting, the psalmist says, a good matter. What is that? My heart is indicting. Well, indicting, that means to be moved or to be stirred. Thus, he does not say that my mind that is thinking about a good matter, No, he says, my heart that is moved, my heart that is stirred. And as congregation, we may begin here. Is your heart ever moved? Is your heart ever stirred? Even as we read here. My heart is indicting a good matter. And by nature, our heart is not stirred. Our heart is not moved by a good matter. No, we heard something last week. What our heart is moved by nature. What our heart is stirred by nature. What is the bent, what is the inclination of our wicked, of our sinful hearts? That is, after all that is carnal, after all that is worldly, after all that is vain, after all that is sinful, that is what our hearts are stirred, what they are moved by. And now the psalmist says, and my heart that is indicting that a good matter, my heart is stirred, my heart is moved. No, not with all that is in this world, but it is now moved, it is now stirred by something that is good. By grace. Then we have the beginning of this. That is, boys and girls, when the Lord gives to us what we are asking for when we are young, what are you asking for? You are asking for a new heart. How will you know if the Lord gives unto you a new heart? How will you know that? Well, children, because you may also try to examine yourself in this week, although you may not come to the Lord's Supper, no, not yet. And still it is possible that when we are young, that we have a right, a divine right, though we have not a church right, that we have a divine right. Thus, what is it when we are so very young also that will happen when the Lord gives to you a new heart? That is, that your heart may by times begin to be moved, to be moved, to be stirred with a good matter. What is that? A good matter. Congregation, that our heart would be moved by the consideration of God. Of God. That is, not only that our mind is thinking about Him, and we hope that is, but is your heart now ever moved? Is your heart now ever stirred by the thoughts of the Lord? Is your heart now ever moved? Is it ever stirred by the thought of the law of God? Is it ever grieved because of the transgression of His law? Or is it ever moved when you may consider how that you have been created in His image? Is it ever moved? And when you must consider how that you have fallen so deeply away from Him, that you are dead in sins and in trespasses, is there ever a tear? Is there ever a grief? Is there ever a sorrow? Ever a movement in your soul? But we know that in temporary faith there is also a certain movement, because that is also including something of the emotions. Therefore, we need to distinguish also further. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. Thus, congregation, it is about the King. And that is what this psalm is about. We read it is a song of loves. And then we can think especially about the Song of Solomon, because it is sounding actually very similar to the Song of Solomon. And what can we read in the Song of Solomon? We can read what is taking place in the heart of God's true children. Congregation, would you ever have a little peek into the heart of God's children? Then you may read the Psalms. Then you may read the Song of Solomon. Then you may read such a psalm as Psalm 45. We do not know exactly who wrote it, but probably it was David. Probably it was David in writing about the king, writing about whom? Or writing about perhaps King Solomon, yes, but not everything in this psalm can be said about King Solomon. Thus, this psalm that is a messianic psalm, and everything that we may read in it is pointing unto that great king, the antitype, that is pointing unto that eternal king. Thus, congregation, it begins with God in the life of a man. But it has to go unto the King. It needs to go, it needs to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Why? Because that is the only way back unto God. There is but one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. And thus, we need to come to some knowledge of Him. That sounds very high, that I must have a knowledge of Him. And we do not mean congregation. And now to set that so high, and that the little ones are not able to reach such a height, because that is not true. Oh, the great knowledge of Him, the greatest knowledge that is reserved actually for eternity. But then there must be some knowledge. The Lord is free with one that is going further than with another. But do you know what we read of the disciples? They did not know so much of Him. They did not understand why He had to suffer. They did not understand why He had to die. But do you know what we read of Him, of them? We read, did not our heart burn within us when He talked with us? By the way, thus know, that was not in the height, in the greatness of that knowledge of Him. But we come back once again to that stirring. We come back once again to that moving of the heart in the consideration now of that Son of God. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. The pen of a ready writer. Then the psalmist knew, he was conscious of the fact that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit of the Lord, that he is writing the Word of God, that he is being led by that Spirit moment by moment. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. But then it is not only in the inspiration of that Word, but it is also the experience of the true church of God. When the Spirit is moving, or when that heart that is stirred, when that heart that is moved, that tongue, that desires to say something, that desires to speak something unto someone else. And so it can even be that it is still so very, very bound, and that it is grievous unto itself. But then there are other times, when that tongue has to be loosed. times when the disciples and the multitude, they may sing, "Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." And then all men can say, "Rebuke thy disciples." But the Lord Jesus, he says that the stone shall cry out, if these shall hold their peace. Oh, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And so it is here. The psalmist, the heart of that psalmist is moved, and so that he desires to speak. And then when he begins to speak, oh, then he then that fire that is, that it begins even more to burn, so that he is turning at this point from verse 1 into verse 2, that he is not speaking about this king, but he begins to speak directly unto him. And what does he say to him? He says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men." Thus, congregation, it is a comparison. He looks about him in all the world. He looks about him to every man that is in this world. And he says that there is no man, that there is no one so fair in this world as thou art. And now we know that there are to us fair persons in this world. Oh, when it is that we are in trouble, when we have a serious sickness, and when we say, well, when we hear, well, there is a very intelligent doctor, oh, then we are looking to that man. Oh, we are looking to his intelligence, and we are looking to his technology, and we say that is now a fair person in our eyes. And when there is trouble in the land, oh, then we say that is there is now a leader. There is one that can go before us. That is now such and such a man. Oh, then he is a man fair in our eyes. And when the enemy is coming against our country, oh, then we are looking at our soldiers and say, they are now men that are very brave. They are men that are very capable and able. And they are persons that are very fair in our eyes. But congregation, now have all men in this world ever lost their fairness in preference to your soul concerning the fairness of this King of which the psalmist is speaking, then in a very special way, then we ourselves are our own idols. Oh, there is, congregation, no one so fair in this world as myself. No one so fair. No one is so good. No one can do it so well as myself. We are such an idolatrous people to worship our own selves. And then, oh, there are other people. My family is fair. Oh, my wife, my husband, my children, they are fair. Oh, then we, that is good. That is good, because love waxes cold in this world. And that is such an awful thing. But congregation, oh, may we ever lose it. May we ever lose it in preference for the estimation of this King that psalmist is speaking about, because the Lord Jesus, he says that if we hate not our father and our mother, and if we hate not our wife and our husband and our children and our brothers and our sisters, yea, our own life also, that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is not literally, no. But then he is speaking about the preference. Oh, is there something now that is coming more into the foreground? Oh, I had an old grandmother. And when she was old, and then I said to her, "Grandma," I said, "do you love the Lord?" And then, do you know what she said to me? She says, "Oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I miss my husband more than I miss the Lord." Oh, then she knew that it had to be more than her family. Then she knew it had to be more than her husband and congregation. So it is. So it is experienced in the life of the bride. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Oh, how true it is. Oh, congregation, how true it is in and of itself. Oh, how fair is he in his person. How fair is he in his natures, in his divine nature. Because he is one with the Father. He is one with God himself. Oh, how fair is he when he has taken upon himself also our nature, your nature, my nature. Oh, to give himself, to come in the form of a servant. Oh, how fair he is in his states, in the state of his humiliation, when he has taken upon himself the sin of his church, when he has become in the consequences of sin to bear those consequences, oh, like every other man, so that no one in all this world, and they could even tell the difference. Oh, congregation, how fair was he when he lay in that manger. Oh, how fair was he when he gave himself even to that cross. How fair is he when he was lying in that grave. Oh, how fair was he in his death. How fair was he in the descending into hell. How fair is he in the exaltation when he has shown himself as the conqueror of sin, as the conqueror of the enemy, as having the victory over Satan, over death, and over hell. Oh, how fair is he in his ascension, in his sitting at the right hand of God. How fair is he in the hope also of his coming again to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, how fair is he in his person and all his attributes. How fair is he in his offices when he came into this world and he entered into that ministry. And then we hear the Father even from heaven. Then he is speaking about him and he is saying unto this world, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, that is how he sees him in his person, in his attributes, in his offices. How fair is he in his prophetical office. And when he may give instruction unto the ignorant who have fallen away and lost that knowledge of God. How fair is he in his priesthood, in giving himself as a sacrifice for the guilty, in his kingship, to put away all the arrows and the devices of that enemy. How fair is he in his mediatorial work. Oh, to stand in the breach, in the separation between a sinner and a holy and a righteous God. Oh, how fair is he in his work as surety, as advocate, to stand also there in that court and to speak and to take over the guilt for that people. Oh, may we not say, congregation, thou art fairer than the children of men. But congregation, who sees it? Who sees it? Oh, no one. There is no one by nature. How is it now in your heart in this morning? Concerning the fairness of this King, we are blind to it. Our heart is waxed gross. Our ears are dull of hearing. Our eyes we have closed. What an awful misery. We see it not as God sees it. We see it not as the Father sees it. We see it not as it truly is. We see it not as reality. But our affections, the stirrings of our heart, they are completely upside down. that they are stirred after all the lust of this world. But concerning him, oh, there is no former comeliness. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. The Pharisees, they said, whom makest thou thyself? When they heard his gracious words, and when they saw the compassion, and when he has healed the sick. Now that is us. We see the fairness in everything, so that the lust of our heart is seeking after everything that is carnal, that is temporal. And we see no beauty, we see no fairness in this King. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Congregation, this is now what is necessary for the salvation of our souls. We will not speak about the Lord's Supper in the first place. No. This is now what is necessary as we are journeying in our life to a great eternity. There is no salvation outside of him. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. There is no salvation in the knowledge of our misery. Those who truly know their misery, they will understand this the best. Oh, indeed, this must come first. The knowledge of our misery, because without knowledge of our misery, there is no need and there is no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But congregation, there is also a pretended knowledge of misery. There is also a pretended conviction of sin, whereon man thinks that he is now standing on a good foundation, but congregation, there is conviction without conversion. There is conviction without a convincing of the soul. Judas was also convicted, terrible convictions. I have sinned against innocent blood. But it was not a conviction that has brought him to the right place. No, that is not a people that can remain in that misery. Ask the blind, ask the lame, ask the deaf. It was not good enough that they experienced what their misery was. No, they needed, they desired, they longed, they begged that they may be delivered. Delivered from their misery. And now this estimation of this King that is so necessary for our soul, and it is necessary also for the proper attendance at that holy supper of the Lord, because that is a supper that is about Him. That is about Him. There are the tokens of his broken body. There are the tokens of his poured out, of his shed forth blood. And when we do not have that same estimation of him as we are reading here, thou art fairer than the children of men, then we eat and we drink judgment unto ourselves. That is not the eternal judgment, no, but that is a hardening. The longer that we do it, then the harder and the harder that we would become. O congregation, then you say, how is it that a person receives such an estimation? Because by nature we do not have it. Oh, is that not so now in the heart of so many that we have to say that I miss that? that I missed such an estimation of the blessed Son of God. How is it then that a person is receiving this in his life? That is our second thought. How that estimation is received. Because even after received grace, then we have not such an estimation. Nowhere does the Lord bring by His Spirit a man. Then we are brought congregation into the workhouse and we begin to work. And we want to make it right again. That is from the Lord. All that desire that I could take away that breach that is standing between God and my soul. And then I am going to do everything. And then we think for some time that we are doing it good. And we think for some time very much of our profession. Very much of our coming to church. Oh, then we think for some time of the great fairness of the labors of my own hands, and that in such a way I can make it good again with that God whom I have sinned against in my father Adam. Congregation, how does it come about now that a person is coming to see that fairness in that only begotten Son of God? Because when I am growing and my estimation of the fairness of my own labor, that is growing, then there is a despising of all the work, the active and the passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does that estimation come about? Thou art fairer than the children of men. Well, that is in the breaking down of all the estimation that is living in my own heart concerning myself. Oh, how does it come about? It comes about in the revelation of Him, in the opening of Him, by the Spirit of the Lord. No, that is not the same, young people, as when we go to school, we go to university, and we learn, and we come more and more to the knowledge of a certain subject. No, it is not the same. It is not by a general intellectual, although they are the means. Oh, stay in that Word of God and search that Word of God. But we are speaking here about something else. We are speaking here about something that is powerful. We are speaking here about something that is the work of the Lord. Thou art fairer than the children of men. How is that taking place? Well, the Lord, congregation, He is setting the fairness of Him over against, always over against, our own great need. Oh, let us give you an example. The lepers. What was their great need? Oh, congregation, they had an incurable disease. They had no power. And there is not a man in the whole world that had power to cure those lepers. Helpless. And now what was it concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, by which He became fairer than the children of men, fairer than all the world and all the men of the world? What was it about Him? I think, young people, you can answer me. You say it was His power. You are right. That is what they saw, because that power that was in him, that was the fulfillment over against that great need in their own heart. And thus, he is revealing himself as the Son of God to those who have lost all the power to save themselves, so that they say, "Thou art fairer than the children of men," and that their heart begins to cry to go out after him. What do we read in God's Word? The bride, what did she say? She said, "I am black, but comely." How? In him. What did she see in him? Comeliness. It was over against her blackness. Or what did she see in herself? She saw corruption. She saw sin. What did she see in him? No, now it is not power, is it? No. Over against her blackness, then she saw his holiness. And that holiness of him that has answered directly unto her blackness. And when she saw his holiness, oh, then she says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men." And then her heart that is going out after him, oh, that thief upon the cross. What did he see in him? Oh, he saw something over against himself. And what did he have to say about himself? He says, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." And then his eyes may go open, and he may see, this man had done nothing amiss. And thus he is given a view of the innocence, of the perfect innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ, over against all his own guilt. And when he may see it, then he may say, Thou art fairer than the children of men. And then his heart begins to go out after him. Then he begins to cry unto him, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Thou art fairer than the children of men." Or how is it then? With that revelation of him, we say that is different for every person. That is true. And still, it is also the same in a certain way for every person. Oh, the revelation of the blessed mediator. No, that is not a vision. No, that is not a dream. No, that is not an audible word. But congregation, we will tell you that it is as a vision, that it is as a dream, that it can be as if a person has even heard it audibly with their ears. Sometimes they say, and they even think, that it was actually a voice. And why is that? That is an experience, that is something that a man he shall never forget in his life. We read in John, it was the 10th hour. How is it in the revealing of that blessed person, O congregation, that is always out of the Word of God? It is by Word and Spirit. If you cannot find it in the Word of God, no, then it is not of him. Or it is many times under the preaching of his Word. Therefore, come up under it faithfully. It is many times in the reading of his word. Therefore, read it faithfully. It is sometimes when we are bowing our knees before the Lord that the Lord is bringing again something into our mind concerning him, his own word. Oh, how is it? With the revealing of him, congregation, it is in the need, always indeed, never otherwise. He has many names. He has many attributes. He has several states. He has several natures. And by all these means, He is revealing Himself in a way which is exactly fitting to the experience of a person concerning their misery. Oh, the revelation of Him. What is it? It is an uncovering. When we have boys and girls, there's something that is laying under a cover, maybe a present. And then that cover that is taken off, oh, then immediately then we see something that we have never seen before. And so it is with a person when he has lived for 50, 70, 90, 100 years under the preaching and been reading that holy word of God. When the Lord is opening our eyes, oh, do you ask for that young people? Do you ask for that children? Oh, Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Because when the Lord is opening the eyes, then we cannot believe that this has been written in the Word of God and that I have read it hundreds of times before in my life. And now today I may see it for the first time in my life. Oh, congregation, this is what we need. It is the application of the Spirit of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, to our own heart in a personal way. Then it is a word that is coming with power. With power. What do we mean by that? With power. Do you know what we mean? We mean that it is a word that will come to fit exactly the circumstance that the Lord has given us to feel. So that a man is drinking it, that it is becoming as water to a thirsty soul, that it is becoming as food and drink unto a hungry soul. Is there a difference in power? Oh, yes. Because for some that may be so nearby, for others that may seem like it is still so far off, just a still small voice. But congregation, do you know what that people see in it? They see a possibility. They see a possibility for such a one as I am. Oh, it becomes so suitable unto them. It is so fitting for my own case. So fitting that they say, "Thou art fairer than the children of men." Oh, when the Lord may reveal Himself unto our soul, then there is a great satisfaction. No, then we do not say we have received everything already, but then we may eat and then we may drink. There is a certain certainty in it because that it is coming from the truth of God. Oh, then there is a certain rest in it. Then there is a certain peace in it. There is a satisfaction in it that cannot be found in this whole world. There is a consolation that cannot be received by other men. And therefore, a man says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men." In the revelation of Him, oh, then a man enters into that wicked gate. Oh, do you know what that Christian experienced there? He met goodwill. He met goodwill. And that is the experience of the revelation of that mediator. And then we experience the goodwill of God to a miserable and to a wretched creature. Oh, congregation, then you can understand. Then there is wonder. There is wonder in the soul. How that it is possible, even for such a one as I am, then there is faith. Then faith is given to take hold also of this blessing. No, we do not say the assurance of faith. We do not say it is the assurance of the forgiveness of our sin. No, Bunyan, he says, come through the gate. And he still says, oh, will you take away the burden that is on my back? The burden of my guilt, the burden of my sin? Oh, you must wait, it is told him, until that time that it will fall off of itself. No, then we are not speaking in the revelation of that blessed mediator, of the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins. No, and yet we do read that goodwill gave him a full congregation. That is, that he did not have to take this step himself, and that he may experience something of that faith that gives him to receive the blessings of the Lord over against all my wretchedness, over against all my misery. And then the heart begins by faith to long for him, to go out unto him, to cry unto him, to say, thou art fairer than the children of men. Let us sing 363, 1, 2, 3, and 5. From the depths do I invoke thee, Lord, to me incline thy ear, to my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 363.
Thank you.
thou art fairer than the children of men. Congregation, has this ever become the estimation of your heart concerning that blessed mediator that the Father has sent into the world to seek and to save that which is lost? Thou art fairer than the children of men. Then he is revealing himself, or he is showing himself one aspect at a time unto those who have a great need, those who must experience that they are miserable and steeped in sin, those that must experience that they lie in the midst of death, and that he is opening unto them that he is the tree of life. Those that may experience a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, oh, then he may reveal himself as the bread and as the water of life, so that their eyes may go open and they may say, thou art fairer than the children of men. And their heart may begin to long for him and may go out unto him with holy and new desires. O a people whose mountain of sin that cannot be overcome from their own side, so that they fear that it will do them in forever. And when he is opening his word to reveal himself as the breaker, who is able to break through every mountain, all those who have to experience something of the great power of that enemy, the enemy of sin in their life, the enemy of that prince of darkness, and that they fear to succumb under that enemy, and when one day they are upon their knees, and then so unexpectedly that word that is going open, and then he is saying unto them, I am thy shield. And then their eyes may go open, and then they may see him just a little bit. Oh, maybe so, so far away. But then they begin to long for him, as saying, thou art fairer than the children of men. Oh, those who are not able to stand before their judge, and who fear to come into that court of God, because they are going to be condemned forever. And then one day under the preaching, so unexpectedly, in all their wretchedness and in all their misery, and that he is opening his word, all one word out of a Psalter, one word out of the Bible, one word out of the preaching, and the Lord showing himself as the advocate, all the advocate. And then their eyes going open, that they say, thou art fairer than the children of men. And then the heart being moved, the heart being stirred with a good matter, indicting to speak of him. O congregation, were your eyes ever going open? And when you were standing outside of the kingdom of God, and you did not know how to come in, that you could not find a way, and then you're coming under that reading of the word one Sabbath afternoon, and then that word is spoken, I am the door, and your eyes go open, and your heart is moved, and oh, you see how suitable he is for such a one as you are, and that there is an entrance through him unto the kingdom of God, and that you are saying before the Lord as witness, oh, thou art fairer than the children of men, O congregation, one aspect at a time. But then the Lord is increasing the estimation in the life of his people, of his only begotten Son. Oh, the brothers of Joseph, they saw nothing in him in his youth, nothing. They despised him. But there came a time in their hunger when they did not even know who that he was. And then there was a drawing power, and they are approaching unto him. And then there came a time that he is revealing himself. What a wonder. Oh, what a wonder for those brothers that are in hunger and in thirst and in a great need every day, that this is their brother, their very brother who is providing for them. Oh, congregation, how fair that he became in their eyes. How fair in the dealings that he has made with them all this time when their eyes did go open. Oh, how fair in his mercy. And when he said unto them, do not be angry with yourselves that you have sold me hither. Old in their hearts, they have gone out to him to say, thou art fairer than the children of men. Oh, what a wonder. When he has bowed over and when he has kissed each and every one of them who had sold him into Egypt, then they had to say, thou art fairer than the children of men. Oh, how it is growing. It is growing step by step in the life of God's children. Oh, what did Ruth see in Boaz when she came into that country? Oh, she did not know him. She is brought unknown into his vineyard. Oh, then as she may see a little something that he is the owner of that field. Oh, she may see something when he is inviting her to that table, when he is protecting her. He is speaking unto his own men. You may not touch her. Oh, that he is reaching unto her parched corn. But congregation, it was not enough. It was not enough for her. Why not? Oh, she did not know who he was. But there is a need that is living in her heart, deep in her heart, and that is expressed by her. What is that need? That need is, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. She does not know how this can happen. No, and all this that she may receive thus far from him, that cannot do it for her. And one day, then she goes to her home, and she goes back, and Naomi, she says something to her. She says to her, Ruth, she says, that is your near kinsman, your near kinsman. And oh, congregation, how the eyes of that woman, they must have gone open. Oh, to say, thou art fairer than the children of men, the near kinsman, because this is now he. This is now he by whom this people may become my people, and this God may become my God. And then her heart is longing for him, that she may be married unto him. Oh, congregation, do we know the smallest part of that blessed confession, and thou art fairer than the children of men? Paul, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, how he needed him, what he saw in him for justification, for the forgiveness of sins, of whom I am chief. But the longer that he lived, oh, the more that he must agree with the psalmist, who say, thou art fairer than the children of men, when he has to experience daily in his life, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. That he has to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thou art fairer than the children of men. All read Song of Solomon 5, congregation. Then that bride, she cannot say it highly enough of him. Oh, then she speaks of him with such glorious terms. His head is of the most fine gold. His locks are bushy, black as a raven. Oh, his eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. Then she is speaking about his belly. She is speaking about his hands. She is speaking about his legs. Oh, she is speaking about his mouth. And then she does not know how to say it all. And finally, she says it in one word. She says, he is altogether lovely. Oh, how fair. Oh, how fair that the Lord is making that people to see that blessed Son of God step by step in their life. And now we ask you one question. One question. in preparation for that Holy Supper of the Lord next week, Sunday morning, the Lord willing. And that is this. Do you know, not the greatest part, not the greatest part, we ask you, do you know even the smallest part of this blessed confession? Thou art fairer than the children of men. Oh, have you ever seen him so? Have you ever seen him so in your need? Have you ever seen him so in your impossibility, in your great wickedness, in your guilt, in your pollution, so that it made your heart for one moment to say, thou art fairer than the children of men? O congregation, was it ever by the opening of that holy word of God? Oh, that by a true faith, oh, you say, I have no faith. I have no faith. Because it was gone. Because it lasted such a short time. Oh, and then I did not see him anymore. And the sin in my life, oh, that is all still there. Oh, we ask you, may you ever see him for a moment. May you ever have your heart to be moved, to be stirred for a moment concerning that free and that sovereign grace of that only begotten Son of God, the suitability of him, of his offices, of his natures, of his states, of his attributes, of his work, of his person, for such a wretched and miserable creature as I am, that your heart that has begun for one moment to long for him, to see more of him, to know more of him. O congregation, is that now your soul's desire? Is that now your soul's need, so that you say, Lord, why hidest thou thy face from me? Oh, such persons, congregation, such persons, the Lord will not turn away from his holy supper. Such persons do not eat and drink judgment unto themselves. Oh, no. Bartimaeus, in his need, he cried because he saw something. It was not everything, no. It was something. He saw that power that was fitting for his own case, so that he said, thou art fairer than the children of men. And all the people, they said, hold your peace. But he cried out all the more. And then what do we read? Jesus stood still. And he commanded him to be called. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in all thy truth, and to give, by the power of thy Spirit, such an estimation of thee, thine only begotten Son, to live, to burn within our hearts. Thou art fairer than the children of men, that it may never leave us, world without end. Bless us, Lord. Oh, bless us with this blessing above all the blessings of this world. If they have to be taken away, oh, then take them away, that our estimation of thee, that may grow more and more, and that forever and forever we may glorify and magnify thee. Bring us safely to our places, and with desire and help also for him that will lead in this afternoon. Forgive all that is amiss for Jesus' sake. Amen. 426, 1, 3, and 7. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry and supplication, inclines his ear, gives strength and consolation, in life, in death, my heart will seek his face. 1, 3, and 7 of 426.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.